So, I'm very grateful to be here in front of you and the fact that Pastor Jack trusts me to be able to do this. And I was going back and thinking about it. This is only, I believe, the fourth time I've actually done, this will be the third time I've actually done something other than a testimony. So my first one would have been a testimony. Now I've done we've done the tag teams and things like that, but my first one was the testimony, and then I did the one on joy and the one on worship music. And so this one was, you know, those. Anyway, so I was praying about what I should talk about. And I, you know, guys, I watch a lot of the videos on YouTube that have to do with scripture and all that stuff. So I had been praying about this, and all of a sudden I looked up and they were doing something on Psalm 46. And I have to admit, I really never focused on Psalm 46. And it was like God was my message. I was supposed to do Psalm 46. So we are going to talk about Psalm 46. So first off, I'm going to read Psalm 46 to you. There's only 11 verses. I have it both in the NLT and King James. I'm going to read it in the King James, but if we have any words that we don't quite follow, then I've got the NLT up here too. Psalms 46 goes, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea. Though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof. Selah. There is a river, the streams whereof shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacles of the Most High. God is in the midst of her, she shall not be moved. God shall help her, and that right early. The heathen raged, the kingdoms were moved, he uttered his voice, the earth melted. The Lord of hosts is with us, the God of Jacob is our refuge. Selah. Come, behold the works of the Lord, what desolations he hath made in the earth. He maketh wars to cease unto the end of the earth. He breaketh the bow and cutteth the spear in sunder. He burneth the chariot in the fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Selah. So we're going to talk about this. Psalms 46 is a powerful declaration of faith, emphasizing God's role as a refuge and strength for believers. It is attributed to the sons of Korah, not David, and is often referred to as a song of holy confidence. So who are the sons of Korah? I wanted to look that up because I wasn't sure. I remembered who Korah was, but I didn't. I knew the name, but I didn't know the name. The sons of Korah are the descendants of Korah, a biblical figure who led a rebellion against Moses during the Israelites' journey in the wilderness. This rebellion is detailed in Numbers 16, where Korah and his followers challenged Moses' leadership. As a result of their defiance, God punished Korah and his co-conspirators by causing the earth to swallow them. We all know that. Remember when God opened the earth and took them down? That was it. Done. They're done. But this was written by the sons of Korah. It says, however, the children of Korah did not die. God didn't take them. He only took Korah and the people that followed him. He didn't punish the children for what the father had done. Credited with writing several psalms, including 46, they also are credited with writing Psalms 42 through 48. It says their psalms reflect themes of worship, longing for God, and the beauty of his presence. The legacy of the sons of Korah is one of redemption and transformation. I mean, they saw their father get taken away because of what he had done and knew what he had done. Despite their ancestors' rebellion, they embraced their roles in the community and contributed significantly to Israel's worship practices. Their story serves as a reminder of the possibility of grace and restoration. So I thought it was important to add this about who the sons of Korah were, because we could just read it and say, well, it was done by the sons of Korah, but what's significance in that? And I think it's important when you read, think about what the words of the psalm say, and then to hear this, it says, their story serves as a reminder of the possibility of grace and restoration. So the key themes of this script, this 11 verses of Psalm 46, God is refuge and strength. Psalm opens with the affirmation that God is refuge and strength, providing help in times of trouble. We say that a lot. We know God is our refuge. Fearlessness in chaos. It encourages believers not to fear, even when faced with natural disasters or turmoil, highlighting God's protective presence. Divine protection. The psalm illustrates God's ability to provide peace and security, even amidst chaos, reinforcing the idea that he is always present with his people. So the structure of Psalms 46, just so you know, is verses 1 through 3, God is the refuge and the strength. He's assuring his believers that he's here with us when we're in trouble. 4 through 6 is the imagery of a river symbolizes God's life-giving presence, emphasizing stability and joy. And verses 7 through 11, a call to recognize God's power over nations and his promises of peace and protection. Now, just so you know, I got a lot of this off of Google and everything. I'm not this smart yet. Probably won't be. That's a Charles thing, but no, that's not a Karen thing. Anyway, notable verses. Verse 1, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. And verse 10, be still and know that I am God. And some of my sources here were from a pastor, John Miller, who was on, you know, he had some information on the internet. And I have to admit that I took some of his stuff and I looked at it, but his was a lot different than how I would talk. So I made it mine, but I referenced him because he was a reference that I used. And I've written this out. So I'm going to read and talk at the same time. Read and talk at the same time. Yes, I am going to read and talk at the same time. But these are my, I type, this is my words. So this is what I've got. Since I wasn't really aware of what is in Psalms 46. I'm like probably everybody else. We have certain psalms we know probably by heart, but I don't know them all. Yes. And it just happened that this one came up, and I started listening, and I started making notes. I've got... it was making these notes on fear and chaos and how he was working with us. So, I mean, I had all the notes and I thought, this is, and then I realized I believe this is what the Holy Spirit had told me to talk about. It was just one of those, there's no coincidences in God, and I'm praying, and then all of a sudden this is there, and it caught me. It was one of those things that you stop everything you're doing, and you pay attention to what's going on.
You got highlighted to you, like Pastor says.
Yeah, it got highlighted to me. That's right. So then I started taking notes and really focused on what was being said. And, you know, sometimes we only focus on specific words of God when we realize how it affects us right now in our life. It was something we had been talking about, like we had a Bible study last week. But verse 1 talks about God being our refuge and strength. Very much with us when we are in trouble and perceive trouble. God is our strength. He's our refuge. Taking refuge in God, we know refuge is shelter, protection, a safe place. He's our high tower. Calling to God for help and direction, we should always be calling on him first. And we've talked about that recently in here. And not as a last resort, but always his first place to go. Yet we seem to forget this step until we get further into the situation, then all of a sudden we remember God. It says, this psalm has been called a prescription of confidence. God gives us the prescription on what we need to do. The dosage is, seek God first.
Yes.
Psalms 46 has also been called the sublime expression of quiet confidence in God. amid the upheavals of life. Sublime refers to something that is extremely good, beautiful, or enjoyable. Now, see, I didn't think of that definition for what it was. I was thinking of something else. When I looked it up, I thought, wow, extremely good, beautiful, or enjoyable. It often conveys a sense of grandeur or excellence that inspires awe, majestic, assaulted, magnificent, superb. So let's talk about what we believe versus how we actually act. We always talk about how much we believe in God. We talk about it, all of us do. And all His works. Yet when something happens, good or bad, our first response is usually not to go to God. Especially on something that's not great, big, we immediately start trying to figure it out for ourselves. Mm-hmm. Guilty? Yeah. Anybody else yeah. guilty? Yeah. We try to figure it out for ourselves?
Yes.
Without saying God first, you know, talking to God first, and then somewhere in the midway we go, oh, wait, I need to talk to God about this. This psalm answers the question, what do we do and where do we go when life challenges us? What do we do? Where do we go? What do? We talk to God. Where do we go? To God. The psalm, there are three things we need to do when we face the challenges that come against us every day. Number one, we need to run to God. If we walk closely with God, we won't have a life that is falling apart. And this focus a little bit on falling apart, and I think it's just being everyday stuff. I don't think it's a bad catastrophe or anything major. I think it's just life. I think life is lifey. I think every day life has things that challenge us. It says the important thing is that we need to run to God. Verses 1 to 3, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. They're in trouble. You okay?
Yes.
Do you need some water? Yes.
I'm just getting my
phone. Okay. So, a very present help in trouble, therefore we will not fear. Even though the earth be removed... And sometimes we feel like some of our problems, the earth is removed. The bottom's come out from under your feet. You don't know what's going to happen. It's just going to be what it is. And then though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though its waters roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with its swelling, fear will sometimes keep us from going to God or receiving from Him. And we all know this. Fear equals a lack of faith. We know that fear will steal our testimony away from God. Remember, fear is not a God.
No.
Sometimes we act like it is with a little g, but it will steal what God has for us. We've all been in, and fear doesn't have to be, it can be a small thing that you're afraid of. You know, you're afraid to go to the doctor's appointment. You're afraid to pick up the phone when you see who it's coming from. You're afraid of driving to town because the traffic might be... I mean, fear creeps into everything. It can be any little thing. It doesn't have to be some big crisis that you're fearing. It's not that, you know, you're in fear because somebody's ill or something. It can be just the day-to-day things that we live with every day. And there are a lot of things people do run to that don't run to God. We know that. They run to alcohol. They run to drugs. Some other form of escape. They may turn inward. They may get depressed and discouraged. Maybe they lie in bed all day and decide not to get up and do anything because they think that that's their little cocoon and they're going to stay right there. They don't get out of bed. They don't want to go to work. They don't want to see people or ask for help. And the first place they should go is to talk to God. A lot of people don't know that. I mean, we're all blessed enough to know it. It says, the Bible tells us that when we are in times of crisis, run to God as our refuge. Notice how the psalm starts, God is our refuge. It starts with God. We need to learn that God is our only hope in times of need, and that God is our refuge. So we need not to run to man, to money. We need to run to God. And most of us run to money, or to man. Before we think of God.
Yeah.
Remember, number one, because God is our refuge. Verse 1 says God is our refuge. Verse 7 says God is our refuge. Verse 11 says God is our refuge. At the end of each division of this Psalms, we have the repeated statement, God is our refuge. So who is God?
Our refuge.
In a time of trial, testing, or warfare, God is our defender and protector. God is a safe place. God is a hiding place. God is a place of protection. So we want to run to God and not to man. God and God alone is our refuge. And we have to remember what an important thing this is. So number two, the second reason we need to run to God when life is falling apart or just being lifey is because God is our strength. I don't know, every day I say, I am able to do all things through Christ who strengthens me. This is one of my prayers I put over my life every day. God is our refuge and strength. We don't run to God to escape life. And that's the other thing. We run to God to face life because we can't escape. We have to face it. We have to move forward. God is not a form of escapism. We run to God for help to go back to face our problems. And that's sometimes the hardest thing.
Yes.
You go to God, and then you have to go back and face your problems. Remember the story of Paul's thorn in the flesh? 2 Corinthians 12:10, he said, when I am weak, then I am strong.
Yes.
Why? Because his weakness drove him to God's strength. And God told him that. He said, my grace should be enough. I also read where in our Bibles it talks about the prick in his side. And they said in the Hebrew translation, that is a double-edged knife. So you think of a prick just being a small thing, think of a double-edged knife being stuck into you. So number two was God's our strength. One, God is our refuge. Number three, we should run to God because God is our help. He is our help. He's our refuge, our strength, and a very present help in trouble. Not only is he our helper, but he's our very present help in trouble.
Yes.
And I know we've all had situations we've been in where we've had a trouble. We've had to go to God and talk to God and ask God how we're going to solve the situations that we're in.
Yes.
And we just sometimes hurt ourselves by delaying that action. We're sometimes reactive instead of proactive. And if we would go to God first, it would be a proactive stance we're taking instead of a reactive stance that we take that after several things have happened. Now, all of a sudden, I've got to remember I need to talk to God and pray about this. I don't know why this is doing. There are no other mics up here. I guess it's just maybe God's telling me to move on. I don't know. Verse 7, God is with us. And again in verse 11, God is with us. He is always present to help us in our times of trouble. You have to remember to ask him in, though. He won't intrude if you don't ask him. Remember, God's a gentleman, and
yes.
He won't come in if you don't ask him in. You can't assume that he's there if you don't say, God, I need you. He's there. But he's not going to step in and help you if you don't ask him to. Because
yes.
He figures if you don't ask him, you don't want him. He is always next to you, waiting for you to turn to him. Think of that. Kind of envision that. He's right there, always with you. You know he's inside. But think of him being right there. But you've got to ask him in. You've got to ask for his help. And he will carry the burden for you. I have had so many burdens recently that I have had to put on God. And sometimes I just thank him for carrying my burdens and apologize that I have so many. And I've never heard him reprimand me for the burdens that he carries for me. You know, there are 30 verses in the Bible about God carrying our burdens. You know how I like to look that stuff up. So, let's go through a few. I highlighted a few here. This is just for him carrying your burdens, remember? And I have these. You know I'm not going to come without paperwork. Yes, please. Anybody that wants one there. I think I have 15 there. Bam, we don't have enough all this morning. So let's go. Let's Psalms 55:22. Cast your cares on the Lord and he will sustain you. He will never let the righteous be shaken. And I'm not going to go through them all. I'm just highlighting four or five for this. These are for you. You can take them. And that's just another declaration sheet like we have sometimes that we give out that has all this stuff on them. So I just did Psalms 55:2, which is the second one on this list. And then I'm going down to Isaiah 41:10. It says, so do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. And then on down to Philippians 4:13. I can do all this through him who gives me strength. And then I have Philippians 4:7. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your heart and your minds in Christ Jesus. Matthew 6:3-4. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. And the last one I'm going to do right here is Philippians 4:6. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. So I wanted you to have these. Go through these. I thought this would be something good. We can all take these. And these are things, just remember, these are scriptures on burdens that the Lord carries for us. So you can add them into your prayers that you do, or if you're needing a specific burden, you're carrying a specific burden, you go to the Lord and say, this is the one I need for today. So remember, God is not a God who is far off. God is not at a distance. He's not up here. I used to think, before I came here and learned what I have learned, thank you, Pastor Jack, I thought God was out there. I said this before you. I thought I could go in the other room, close the door, and God was in there, and he didn't know what it was. He didn't know anything. You know, if I wasn't acknowledged, he wouldn't know. Then you find out, no. God sees everything. He knows everything. You can't hide from him, so you can't try. So you might as well just understand that he's there with you all the time. You may be walking in a dark place. There may be something going on in your life that gives you a little bit of a dark place sometimes. Just remember, God is always right there. He's always near you. Jesus said, cast your cares upon me. Come to me. I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Learn of me. Number four, so that was number three. Number four, we should run to God because he takes away our fear. It's verses 2 and 3. The psalmist says, therefore we will not fear. There are so many things that cause fear. People, there's people all the time, they're afraid of an earthquake, afraid of a flood. Yeah. They're afraid that a landslide. They're afraid of a hailstorm. They're afraid when storms come. You know, anymore when there's a storm coming, I just pray. I just pray over my house. And I just pray for the storm to go around me and keep me and my neighbors safe. And, And if you're not praying, that's your fault because it's your house. But me and mine, I pray for it. And I pray for it not. My dogs get real upset, storms. So I pray for God to give me patience while I'm trying to keep my dogs
the dogs,
And I have one dog that knows he must hear the thunder 30 miles out because all of a sudden he gets very clingy. But we're afraid of storms. We're afraid, we're volcanoes or anything. So there's so many things we can fear, or we can fear nothing. because we know God is there for us. So what this verse is telling us is we do not need to fear because we have a refuge. Though the earth be removed, just like it says, though the earth be removed, though the mountains be carried in the sea, though all these catastrophic events happen in the world, we don't need to be afraid because we're trusting in God. We've run to God and we have found a refuge in God. And for just a minute, I want you to stop and think. Running to God like a small, like a child running to their mom or their dad. Mm-hmm. To your dad. Think about when your children were little, or when you were little, when you'd see dad and you would be so happy. Dad, and you just ran to him. You know, you ran to him in such excitement and such enthusiasm, and you put your arms up and you wanted to pick you up and hug you.
It's not you holding the microphone.
No, it's not me holding the mic. I don't know what it is. Any ideas? Run to God. Don't run away. Don't run away from God. In a time of bereavement, loss, divorce, difficulty, or just daily life, run to God. When life happens, we need to drink of God. Not only do we have a refuge in God, but remember that God is the river. He becomes the river for our life. And that's in verse 4. There is a river, the streams whereof shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacles of the Most High. In the NLT it says, a river brings joy to the city of our God, the sacred home of the Most High. So there is a river whose streams shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacle of the Most High. Verse 5, God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God shall help her. And he's describing Jerusalem a lot in this, and God's protection of the city and people. But we know that that's just a representation, and it also includes all of us. The nations raged, the kingdoms were moved. He uttered his voice, the earth melted. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. When you are facing life's daily difficulties and life's hardships, if you ask, he comes alongside of you. He does what no one else can do. He strengthens the inner man. He gives you his peace. Philippians 4:7. God's peace that surpasses understanding guards my heart and mind in Christ. He gives you his joy. Nehemiah 8:10. Do not sorrow, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. He gives you his love. The love of God is described as unconditional, sacrificial, everlasting, compassionate, and transformative. It is the essence of God's nature, reflecting a deep commitment to the well-being of humanity as seen in the belief that God loves all people regardless of their actions. Romans 5:8, but God shows his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. It's like that song, he didn't leave us behind. He kept us right there. He didn't leave us as he found us. Jeremiah 31:3, I have loved you with an everlasting love. I have continued my faithlessness to you. 1 John 4:8, God is love. This love is meant to inspire and guide believers in their daily lives, encouraging them to reflect God's love in their actions and relationships. So remember, he gives you his peace. This is God's peace. I have a piece of paper that I carry with me all the time. And in it, this verse is on there. And it is, I'm strong in the Lord. His strength is mighty. And I am surrounded by his spiritual armor to stand against the enemy. And I also have 9 things to talk to the Holy Spirit about on a daily basis. Those I usually have in my jean pocket. I put on clean jeans to come tonight, so they're in the one that I'm
not in your pocket.
They're not in my pocket right now. I forgot them. Oh no. They're like my little talisman. I keep them right there. God is our helper. We have a refuge. We don't have to fear. We have a river that runs through us. We will rejoice. The last thing we need to do when life begins to be lifey is be still and know God. Verses 8 to 11. The term be still in verse 10 literally means to let go or to take your hands off. When things go wrong, we have a tendency to throw our hands up in the air. Oh my goodness, what's going on? God says, no, put your hands down. In the Hebrew, it actually means put your hands down. That means to take your hands off the problem. You can't be all emphatic about it if you put your hands down and you've given it to God.
That's good.
So remember that. Put your hands down. Yeah, I mean, we all, oh my goodness, you know, think about that in time. Huh. So, you know, the first reaction sometimes on things is to.
So that's what you're saying is be still means put your hands down.
Be still means put your hands down. It says in the Hebrew.
Not to pick it up.
It means to put your hands down. Yeah, not to pick it up. Be still and know that. Be still and know that God's there and not to. And it goes right into the burden thing. If you pick it up, then you took the burden on you. Yeah, I used to say I kept giving Terry to God, but then I take him back. I've given him to God now. I gave him away several weeks ago and said, I can't do this anymore, God. He's 100% yours. I don't want him back. I mean that in a nice way. I'm hoping God gets everything. I trust God to figure out what he's going to do. But I can't do it. I can't. I had to admit I couldn't. And there was nothing I could do. And now it's just a question of there's no arguments because I don't argue. There's no usually discussions on things because I don't argue. And there's no, I just kind of go, okay, turn it on real quick. So I keep my hands down. I just thought that was really good. Keep your hands down. The word no in verse 10 means to admit, because he says, be still and know that I am God. So the word no in verse 10 means to admit, to realize, to acknowledge. We say this verse a lot.
Yes.
But do we really know, be still and know that I am God? Be still means keep your hands off of it. Give it to me, let go of it, and know, to admit, to realize, to acknowledge. So we take our hands off, and we know that he is God. We admit it, we realize it, and we acknowledge it. That's an action we have to take.
Yes.
You can't do this passively. You have to take action on this. You have to be the one that says, I am going to do this. I am going to run to God. I am going to know that he's God. I'm going to stand still. I'm not going to fear. Problem is that we think we're going to take the problem, right? One of the hardest things to realize is that I'm not God. And then to let God be God. Knowing that God is a marvelous truth. Knowing that we don't have the answers. When you admit to yourself you don't have the answers, it's a wonderful thing. It takes a lot of the pressure off of you to just say, I turn it over to God.
Here's one thing that I heard someone say. It said, when they said, God, I can't do this anymore. I just can't do it anymore. And God's response to them was, finally, now I can step in.
Yeah. Well, you know, Pastor tells a story on Patty when they first got saved that she was still not quite as saved as he was. And he kept trying, and God told him,
leave her alone.
I can't do anything. And I had to realize that, too. There is no way that Terry was ever going to be saved through me. There was no way that anything I could say to Terry was going to make any difference, you know, one way or the other, about God, about the Bible, about believing. you know, when you have some, a lot of times you can't change your family. Somebody else has to. Somebody else may be able to reach out to Terry, but it's not going to be me. Sometimes you're too close to it. And even if you've got a good relationship, you can't always bring somebody to Christ that's a part of your family. You have to acknowledge, you can answer questions sometimes, but you have to know that God's got to do that. You can't, he can direct you, but you can't do it. And, you know, that's what it says here. The hardest thing to realize is that I'm not God. And then to let God be God, knowing that God is a marvelous truth.
Yeah.
God is God. And if we just keep remembering that, and we have to actively acknowledge that, because otherwise we slip right back. We live in a natural world that's full of all kinds of things that cause us issues. There's always something going on. I mean, you can turn on TV for 5 minutes and get depressed if you're not careful. You can accidentally turn on something and get upset about it that you didn't even want to do. So we have to be very active participants in what we're doing when we walk in faith.
Guard your heart and mind.
Guard your heart and mind. That's
all your gates. Yeah.
Always. And it says, when we let God be God, verse 10 says that God will be exalted and God will be glorified. He says, I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. And God wants that. And all we have to do is let him be God. Verse 11, the Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. When Jesus was born, Isaiah the prophet told us, they shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God is with us. We all know that. God is with us. So in conclusion, let's always try to remember there are three things to do when life is lifey. I heard somebody call it lifey, and I thought, that is really good, lifey, because life is lifey. It doesn't have to be a crisis mode. It doesn't have to be critical. It doesn't have to be, you know, death, dying, you know, trauma, whatever. It's just life. It's just everyday life that we live right now. So life is lifey. Yes. What do? Run to God, our refuge, and we will not fear. We drink God, our river, and we will rejoice. Thank him. Give him your burden and then thank him. Be still and know that he is God, hands down, and know that he is God and he will be exalted. And then embracing God's help. Guess you won't mind if we get out of order. This is my last little video. Accepting God's help requires trust.
Yes.
And humility.
Yes.
We have to trust in God. That has to be right there. You have to trust in God.
Yes.
I can't do it for you. You can't do it for me. I can't do it for Terry. She can't do it for me. I have to trust in God myself. So I have to know, I have to trust in God, and I have to do it with some humility, because I'm not God. He is. I'm not. It's acknowledging that we cannot do everything on our own and that we need his support. You know, that was hard for me. I think I've said this before. I've only really been following all of this for about 10 years, 9 here, maybe a little bit in 2014, 2015, something like that. But I wasn't, you did it. I mean, that was my job. I took control and I did things. That was it. If somebody said, get on a plane. If I got a call on Wednesday night at 7 o'clock, it meant when I was flying to the Philippines on Friday and I was going to be there for 3 weeks and there was an issue and I had to go over there and take care of it. That was just life. That was mine. But I never thought anything about it. And But when I came to walk this way, I had to let go of all that. I had to let go of God controlling 100%. Me controlling and let God control.
Mm-hmm.
So even though in our jobs we still have to do things, I can't. But now I talk to God about a lot of the things I do before I do them. I start the day out that way. It's so funny. I start the day out with the list. I give God the things I'd like to get accomplished that day, and then ask him to tell me and direct me, and chances are at the end of the day, I've got about 10% done out of 90. So it's okay. It doesn't really matter. You know, I figured that out. We need his support. As we lean into him, and remember this is leaning into him.
Yeah.
On him and into him. Not only during tough times, but through all times. We receive the help we need. If we'll lean into him and lean on him, we will receive his help. He will not help us. And there's freedom and surrender. You know, when you finally realize, and some of us it takes us a little longer than others, we turn it over. Okay, we can turn it over. By embracing God's help, we have the opportunity to transform our burdens into blessings. And he works with us and through us. So, Father, we thank you for the fact that you take our burdens. We thank you for the fact that you give us the opportunity to transform. We thank you for the fact that you love us so much that you're always standing right there beside us. And before we end today, I'm so tired. I'm going to pray us out, and then we'll turn this off, and then we can talk about anything you might want to say, okay? I'm just going to turn this off and pray that you can hear me. How's that? Because that is, it's annoying me. It's got to be annoying me. Father, give me a solution to this. He gave me a solution for the computer thing. It was bring my bigger computer in, so we've done pretty well with that. The only reason it cut off this morning, just a minute ago, because I think it has a kind of a, when you stay connected for very long, and we had it on for about an hour, I think it automatically kind of cuts you off. Yeah. So that it doesn't.
Especially if you're not moving
yeah.
the mouse or the keyboard.
Yeah, exactly. And I think that's what happens. I'll remember that. So, oh, Father, thank you so much that I managed to get through this. With your help and guidance on everything, Father, and I thank you so much that you send your shield protection around each and every one of us. And Father, we know that you are our God. We know that you are our refuge. You are our helper.
Yes.
That you will guide us and you will take all of our burdens away. And we know to drop our hands and know that you are God at all times. And not just for the big things, but for everything that we deal with every day. Help and guide all of us to remember to turn to you immediately. That the first thing out of our mouth should be, God, help me, direct me, guide me, and show me the way that you need me to go. Lord, we pray that no one is sick here, no one is having any kind of depression, no one is having any kind of issues with anything that's going on in their lives. And Lord, we thank you for bringing all of us together and for the fact that we are your body and this church. And we love you. And in the name of your gracious Son, wonderful Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.